Naivho payam jyavarichitam kavayastavisha. Brahma yushapikitam riddha mudhasvarandha. Yam dhar bahisthanu vritham ashubham vidhudvan. Acharya chaitya vapusha svagatim yanakti. Nevho payansya pachitim kaveha stavesha. Brahma yushapi kitam riddha mudha svarantaha. Yantha vihistanu vritham asubham vidunbhan. Acharya chaitya vapusha svagatim yanakti. Nevopayanti avipachitam kavayasta vesha. Brahma yushapi kitam riddha mudha svaranta. Gantara bahistanu vritham asubham vidunbhan. Acharya chaitya vapusha svagatim yanakti. Naiva.
Not at all.
Upayanti.
Are able to express.
Abhachittam. Their gratitude. Kaviya.
Learned devotees.
Tava.
Your.
Isha.
O Lord.
Brahma Ayusha.
With a lifetime equal to Lord Brahman's.
Api.
In spite of.
Kritam.
Magnanimous word.
Ritha.
Increased.
Buddha.
Joy.
Smarantaha.
Remembering.
Ya.
Who.
Antaha.
Within.
Bahi.
Outside.
Tanubritam.
Of those who are embodied.
Ashubham.
Misfortune.
Vidunbhan.
Dissipating.
Acharya.
Of the spiritual master.
Chaitya.
Of the super soul.
Vapusha.
By the forms.
Sva.
Own.
Gatim.
Path.
Vyanakti.
Shows.
Translation.
O my Lord,
transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they were endowed with the prolonged lifetime of Brahma. For you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya and internally as the Supersoul, to deliver the embodied living being by directing him how to come to you. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Lord Krishna is 10 million times more dear to a devotee than life itself. And according to Srila Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur, even by rendering devotional service for the total duration of 1,000 universal creations, a devotee cannot repay the debt he feels to the Lord for having awarded him loving service to the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord appears within the heart as the super soul and externally, both as the spiritual master and as his literary incarnation, the supreme Vedic knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll just read the verse again.
Brahma yushapi kritam ridham udas parantaham yantar vihistanu vritam ashubam vidunvam acharya chaitya vapusha svagatim hinakti.
O my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you even if they were endowed with a prolonged lifetime of Brahma, for you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya and internally as the Supersoul, to deliver the embodied living beings by directing him how to come to you. So, this verse here, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura quotes this verse in reference to, in his Sri Gaudiya, Sri Vaishnava Gaudiya Kantahara, which is a collection of verses which is the essence of the teaching of the Vaishnava philosophy. And this verse epitomizes, or you know, very succinctly shows that the spiritual master and Lord Sri Krishna are one. So here we see that Uddhava is just saying to Lord Sri Krishna that one cannot express their gratitude to Lord Sri Krishna. That is not really possible because he is so kind that he appears as the super soul and internally and as the Acharya. And of course the Acharya also... I've got a bit of competition over there. We have to see who. So, externally as the Acharya, and internally as the Super Soul, and of course also externally there is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you. There's a nice story in the Krishna book which gives a very vivid example of this philosophical point. And that is when Krishna, after he went to, when Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan, after Krishna had gone to Mathura. So Krishna went to Mathura and there he killed Kamsa. And after killing Kamsa, Krishna's parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, they wanted Krishna to remain in Mathura, because after all, they had Vasudeva had taken Krishna to Vrindavan, Gokul Vrindavan, in fear of Kamsa, that Kamsa might kill Krishna. So then, when Kamsa was dead, then of course Vasudeva and Devaki wanted to spend some time with their son, Lord Sri Krishna, and specifically they wanted to perform the reformatory ceremony of giving him second initiation or the twice born status. So Lord Sri Krishna was initiated by Garga Muni in the twice born status, and then he was educated in all of the 64 arts of Vedas in 64 days. So after Lord Sri Krishna had been to school and repaid his spiritual master, Uddhava came there and Krishna was very, very happy to see Uddhava come there to Mathura. Urdhva had come from the Dwarka region, and Krishna wanted to send Urdhva to Vrindavan because after killing of Kamsa, Krishna had sent his Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd boys and other residents of Vrindavan, he had sent them back to Vrindavan. And Krishna knew that when the gopis saw Nanda Maharaj coming back without Krishna, that all the residents of Vrindavan would be absolutely shattered because they love Krishna so much. So especially because when Krishna was leaving, we know that when Krishna was leaving, all the gopis had surrounded Krishna's chariot and they didn't want him to go, but Krishna managed to, you know, be able to leave because he promised them that I will come back. As soon as I finish my business in Mathura, I will come back. So, of course, this is an anomaly which many people do not understand about the pastimes of Krishna, that they feel that either Krishna broke his promise or that he cheated the gopis, because from all appearances it appeared that Krishna didn't go back to Vrindavan. But actually our acharyas point out that the original form of Krishna never really left Vrindavan. In fact, he eternally resides there in Vrindavan, and he never actually left Vrindavan. In his expansion form as Vasudev, and in Balaram's expanded form as Sankarshan, they actually, in their expanded forms, they appear in Mathura and Dwarka. But actually in their original form as Krishna and Balaram, they never leave Vrindavan. Although externally it appeared to the gopis and the residents of Krishna of Vrindavan that Krishna had left, actually he hadn't left, but he was still there present, but he was apparently externally absent in order to increase their mood of loving separation. In this way he was actually increasing their loving devotion towards him, and increasing the ecstatic pastimes between himself and the residents of Vrindavan, which were then enacted in mood of meeting and separation, with a very, very strong accent on this separation, or Vipralamba Seva, they call it, service in separation. So, but still, Krishna, he knew that when the gopis saw that, you know, Krishna apparently was not coming back, that in all effect he knew that practically they would just die. That he knew that they were living, they were maintaining their life breath just for the hope that Krishna said he was coming back. So, you know, in that way they were able to go on living, but they missed Krishna so much that actually they were, you know, just barely able to maintain their life breath. So Krishna wanted to send Uddhava there to console the gopis. So for the Krishna was reciprocating with the gopis, but at the same time Krishna was also showing great mercy to Uddhava. Uddhava, of course, was the disciple of Brihaspati, and Uddhava was considered to be the best among the whole Vrishni dynasty, or the Yadu dynasty. He was so exalted that, you know, he was almost comparable to be on the same level with Krishna. He was such an exalted personality that, you know, and even his bodily features and you know, the way his dress, everything about Uddhava was very, very, very similar to Krishna. Uddhava had actually achieved Sarupya Mukti, achieving the same bodily features as the Supreme Lord. So Uddhava was very, very intelligent and very, very qualified person, but still Krishna knew that in order to develop the highest degrees of love, one must have a spiritual master. So, in one sense, Krishna was going to manifest to Uddhava externally as the spiritual master in the form of the gopis. And of course, the gopis themselves are Krishna's own internal spiritual pleasure potency. And without, you know, the practical demonstration of seeing the gopis' ecstatic love for Krishna, which is the highest mood of purity and love for Krishna, he knew that even Uddhava, who was very, very intelligent, vastly learned, vastly qualified, still, without that practical association with the spiritual master in the form of the gopis, he was not able to attain the higher level of love of God. Although, you know, Uddhava certainly was on a very, very exalted platform of love of God himself. But to push him to the Brajabasi mood of devotional service, Krishna gave this mercy to Uddhava. So we see that Krishna, as the super soul, he is understanding the mood of Uddhava and reciprocating with him, and he's also understanding the mood of the gopis. So as the super soul, Krishna knew exactly how the gopis were feeling. So although he was in apparently in Mathura, still, as the, because he was always within the heart of everyone, especially the gopis, he knew how they were feeling. So in that sense, Krishna was also sending Uddhava, in one sense, as the spiritual master of the gopis. So, because Krishna wanted to help all the gopis to perceive that Krishna was certainly present in Vrindavan, and that he could be experienced as being personally present in that mood of remembering his pastimes in the mood of separation. So Krishna wanted to, manifesting literally in the form of Uddhava, Krishna was also appearing as the spiritual master to the gopis and giving them instruction how they could be consoled and appreciate Krishna's presence. So of course there are, you know, within the gopis, the groups of the gopis, many of the gopis were eternal associates of the Lord. They actually came from the spiritual world, and you know, they were eternally perfect in their understanding of Krishna and their love for Krishna. But there are also many gopis who had been elevated to that position of associating with the eternal or Nityasiddha gopis. And especially for them, they were also learning, they were also, you know, being elevated into this next level of associating with Sri Krishna on this spiritual platform through the process, through the very, very intense process of remembering Krishna in the mood of separation. And of course, Krishna was manifesting himself as a spiritual master through Uddhava to the gopis. He was manifesting as a spiritual master the gopis to Uddhava. And through this pastime, which we hear about in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he is manifesting as a spiritual master to us, both externally, through the pastimes of both Uddhava, Krishna, the gopis, and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way we see how this verse is manifesting that Krishna, as a super soul within the heart of all living entities, he reciprocates according to one's desire to learn the process of loving the Supreme Lord. Krishna reciprocates with that because he knows everyone's desire, and then he helps them from within and externally as a spiritual master in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Uddhava, of course, went to Vrindavan, and when he arrived in Vrindavan, he arrived there just coming into evening. The sun was starting to set, and he saw the very, very beautiful natural scenery of Vrindavan, the Jamuna River, cows everywhere, cows running everywhere. Calves, feeding from the mothers, so many beautiful birds and bees, and everything was very, very nicely decorated everywhere. The streets were very, clean and perfumed. Everything was, and beautiful fresh grass growing. Everything was very, very wonderful. And Krishna saw Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And Uddhava saw them, and he approached them. They approached him, and they understood, because they immediately understood that Uddhava was a very, very exalted personality, resembling so much their own son, and they understood Krishna had sent him there with a message. And Uddhava spoke to them, and they questioned him. Does Krishna remember us? Does he remember Vrindavan? Does he remember Govardhan Hill? Does he remember his cows? Do you think he will ever come back to Vrindavan? Uddhava explained that yes, Krishna is coming back. Krishna is coming back very, very soon. As soon as he's finished his business. But then he also explained that actually Krishna is here present with you already, because you are constantly absorbed in thoughts of Lord Sri Krishna. So therefore Krishna is there. So then he explained that Nanda and Yashoda, they started to remember the different pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, how he saved them from the Kaliya serpent, and how he lifted the Govardhan Hill, and how he protected the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the forest fire, and so many different things. So they were absorbed in remembering him, and they thought, he must be some great demigod, something like that, because, how could he have done these things, and how could he have killed Kamsa? So, of course, they were just absorbed in thinking of Krishna as their son, and they loved him very much. They understood there's something special about Krishna. Maybe he's God, maybe he's not, maybe he's a demigod, maybe he's not. There's something special about him, we're not sure what it is. Otherwise, how could he do it? But, their main consideration was that, he was just so wonderful and lovable. And they were always absorbed in thinking about Krishna. So Uddhava explained, actually, philosophically, that Actually, your son, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that he is the source of, he expands as Narayan. From Narayan expands Mahasankarshan. From Mahasankarshan expands to three Purusha avatars who maintain material existence, from whom material existence expands and in whom material existence rests. Your son is non different from the super soul who sits within the heart of every living entity and who is there within within every atom. Is that actually your son doesn't really have a father and mother? Because he's actually, he's everywhere. He's unborn. Actually he's the father. As I would have explained. Actually Krishna is the father of everyone. He's also the mother. Because he impregnates the living entities within the womb of the material energy. And the material energy is his expansion. And as the seed-giving father, he is both the mother and the father. So in this way, as Uddhava spoke, he was trying to help them philosophically understand that, from a philosophical point of view, you should understand that Krishna, it is not possible for you to actually be separated from Krishna, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You may be seeing him as your son, but even if philosophically you accept this, you'll understand that your son is still here, because everyone else also knows him as the Supreme Lord. So therefore there's no need for you to feel separation. And the fact that you're always remembering him means that he is present and you are fully aware of his presence and always connected with Krishna. So in this way, Uddhava, these teachings of course are there in the Bhagavad Gita as well. Krishna explained these same teachings in the 7th chapter and the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they stayed up all night with Uddhava, and they discussed different pastimes of Krishna, and in this way they felt consoled by Uddhava's presence. And so then the next morning, the gopis, of course, they got up before sunrise and performed Mangalati. And then just after sunrise, every morning they would come and see Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, also in order to console them, and because they knew that when Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda saw Krishna's friends, that it helped remind them of Krishna, and they felt some happiness. They felt like Krishna's presence was there because his friends were there. And at the same time, the gopis, when they saw Krishna's parents, they sort of felt connected with Krishna, so in this way they also felt consoled. So then, of course, when the gopis came, they saw that, what is this golden chariot here? And I see some of the devotees are a little bit sleepy. It's actually, just before I go on so you don't miss it, I was reading a little snippet, Satsarup Maharaj in his book, Prabhupada Nectar. He was describing how Srila Prabhupada always used to, every morning, wherever he went, he would always read Srimad Bhagavatam. And sometimes the devotees would go to Srila Prabhupada and say, Srila Prabhupada, many devotees sleep in your classes. So, Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I know. He says, my classes are for the advanced devotees. And That Srut Maharaj, you know, he also knew that he was one of the ones that sometimes fell asleep in class. And so he said, he asked Prabhupada, you know, I also have this problem. How do I fix this problem? Prabhupada said, there's a joke in India amongst the ascetic, you know, ascetics that Srimad Bhagavatam is the sure cure for insomnia. And then they both laughed. But we also see in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the chapter 3 in verse 44, the last verse, that Sudha Goswami, he was telling the sages of Naimisharanya that how I learned Srimad Bhagavatam. I learned Srimad Bhagavatam because I heard it with rapt attention from Sukadeva Goswami, who is very, very powerful and great sage. So Srila Prabhupada makes some very, very nice comments in the purport that if we have the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the right person, such as we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada, one can definitely experience and see the presence of Krishna through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, that is the pastime that we are reading here. That by hearing, but Prabhupada said, not just hearing, that hearing has to be sushrushu, or, you know, rapt attention. You know, very, very fixed attention. If we hear in that way, and from the right person, you actually experience the presence of Krishna while you're hearing or you know, reciting or reading Srimad Bhagavatam. You'll actually feel the presence of Krishna. Actually, this is the whole teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And same with chanting Hare Krishna. You know, if we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and we, you know, with rapt attention, then we can actually feel the presence of Krishna. And this is what Krishna is teaching the gopis in this pastime here. That don't think that I'm not present. I'm actually there with you in my bhava manifestation. The acharyas explained that Krishna, in his prabhava and vaibhava manifestation, he appeared as Vasudeva and Sankarshan, you know, Krishna and Balaram in Mathura. But in his bhava, his original form, which is experienced through being absorbed in Lila Smarana or Krishna's pastimes, one can feel the presence of Krishna's original form in Vrindavan. But one has to be very much absorbed. And Srila Prabhupada points out in that purport that in order to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention, one must be pure in mind. In order to be pure in the mind, one must be pure in one's activities. And in order to be pure in one's activities, one has to be, you know, pure in one's activities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So, that's why Prabhupada is saying that, you know, my classes are for advanced devotees. Sometimes we may hear Srila Prabhupada's, you know, classes, we may think, oh, he's repeating some simple philosophy, and then we go to sleep. But actually, if we're very, very absorbed, and you hear Prabhupada's classes, you'll feel the presence of Krishna. And that is for, you know, advanced devotees. So, but to hear Prabhupada's classes with that sort of absorption and rapt attention that you're experiencing in the presence of Krishna, you know, one has to practice, keep one's activities of sleeping, so that you know, one is able, and eating, not eating too much, especially, you know, careful of the 9 o'clock visharam just before you go to bed, and, you know, and of course, you know, people who are absorbed in you know, materialistic activities, especially sex life, they really have you know, there's no way that they can properly hear what to speak of, teach, or, you know, speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, if we mould our lives in such a way that eating, sleeping, mating and defending, these activities are very purified, then we can hear these pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. Actually, if you try to hear the pastimes of, you know, even Prabhupada's lectures, what the speaker was discussing here, Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, unless one, you know, it cannot be done from the material platform. And if one is on, you know, not in a purified position of life, there will be so many obstacles to one's hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So many obstacles. But if one's activity is very, very purified, then one can hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, absorbs oneself in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and by absorbing oneself in the Bhagavatam, one will feel the presence of Krishna. Therefore, the spiritual master, when he comes, he doesn't just speak Srimad Bhagavatam, he doesn't just, you know, speak the intimate pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. The spiritual master first teaches us how to rise from the modes of, you know, tamaguna, and, you know, gradually rise out of the mode of raja, you know, passion, gradually coming to the platform of sattvaguna, you know, and then our devotional activities, it becomes situated in a purified platform of goodness predominantly, and then, you know, pure goodness, and in that position the spiritual master helps us to come to the point where we can then hear. Actually, so much work is done by the spiritual master to get us to the point where we can sit and actually absorb ourselves in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So much work, so much purification, you know, knocking out all the bad qualities and trying to, you know, teach us how to mould our lives in such a way, because in Kali Yuga especially, everyone's lives are moulded in such a way that they have, you know, not even 5 minutes. You know, to even sometimes you see devotees, you know, they say, "Oh, I would like to read more, but I just can't get the time." And then when I do, I can't absorb myself. You know, the answer is that one has to adjust one's life in such a way that is very purified, and to do that one takes instruction from the spiritual master. No intoxication, no gambling, no eating meat, no illicit sex, always chanting the holy names of the Lord, rising early for Mangalati, you know, associating with purified souls, in this way, eating prasadam, all these things help us to come to the position where one day we'll actually be able to think of Krishna. Just like if one eats food which is not offered to Krishna, then immediately one's mind becomes affected, and then it becomes very difficult to think of Krishna. Even devotees, you know, they'll see sometimes if they eat foods which are, you know, cooked by a person that's not in good consciousness. I know sometimes I have to be very careful, because I do a lot of home programs, and everyone wants to, you know, feed the brahmana, and you know, sometimes I just, you know, I don't want to eat it, you know, because you know, for different reasons, I don't think it's offerable, you know, or it's you know, so you know, you have to be very careful, and you know, as a devotee, you see, you know, that if you eat something which is not, you know, good quality prasadam, you find it within, you know, very short time, you think, "Oh, I can't think of Krishna, what is going on, my mind is disturbed." So in this way, you know, one has to come to that point. So here, in this pastime, Krishna is teaching through Uddhava, to the gopis and the gopis to Uddhava, that if we just absorb ourselves in hearing about Krishna, then he's personally present. So of course the gopis took Uddhava and they wanted to take him to a secluded place because they wanted to discuss about Krishna, and they didn't want any obstacles. They didn't want anyone interfering or looking over the shoulder. You're all married girls, some of you have babies, why are you thinking about Krishna like this? What will your mother say? What will your mother-in-law say? So, and then they began to question Uddhava. Does Krishna, ever think of us in the same way? Now he's in the big city with all those sophisticated, very beautiful girls. What would he need of, girls like us, And in this way, they started to remember, all the different pastimes of Krishna like this, and started discussing amongst themselves. And Uddhava could see that just from, they're just, without any cessation, they're just completely absorbed in Krishna at every moment. What the yogis try to achieve with great difficulty, the gopis, because of their love, do incessantly with ease. And he understood, these are the greatest yogis, the greatest philosophers, the greatest transcendentalists, and he could see that they're just absolutely fixed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So while Uddhava was observing the gopis, this bumblebee came and started buzzing around in Srimati Radharani, because she was so absorbed in separation from Krishna that it took her to the point of transcendental madness. Very, very elevated stage. Only Srimati Radharani and her associates can manifest this state of Mahabhava, transcendent. One should not imitate that. But anyway, Radharani was seeing this bee, and she thought, perhaps this bee is a messenger from Krishna. And she saw that on the moustache of the bee there was some kumkum. What she took was kumkum, and she thought, this bee, has got the kumkum from the garland of Krishna, and the kumkum got there because Krishna's been embracing my competitor somewhere, like this. So then she became, a little angry with the bee. If you've got some message from Krishna, no one here is interested. I'm not interested. Don't try and flatter me by, touching my feet and what have you. You're just like your master. He's unreliable and you're unreliable. A bee goes to one flower, to another, takes a little honey, and then goes to the next one. Just immediately leaves that flower. In the same way, Krishna, just once he let me touch, kiss his lotus lips, and then he's gone. Like this. I cannot put my faith in him. We gopis, we gave up everything. We left our whole family. We abandoned society. We abandoned religion. And he just left us. Like this. And you, I see, you're of the same quality. You have the same bodily features. And I think, because indirectly, she was also sarcastically having, a bit of a go at Uddhava, his message. So then anyway, she was discussing, and then the bumblebee disappeared. And then she was speaking, what will happen? The bumblebee will go back to Krishna and tell Krishna all the things I said. So then she became, she was running here and there looking, where is that bumblebee? And then she found again the bumblebee, and please, you've come back. Krishna is so kind. You've gone and told him all those things and still he has sent you. Do you want to take me there? Do you want to take me to Krishna? But you're a bee. How will you take me there? And when I get there, Krishna will be with the queens. anyway, and then she just again become absorbed in remembering the pastimes of Krishna. Of course, Uddhava, he was watching this, whole scene with the gopis, and so then he delivered the message from Krishna that, he spoke the message, although Krishna had written it, as described that Krishna was so, emotionally, absorbed when writing the letter that he didn't quite write it correctly, and also because the gopis were, they needed a little explanation because of their state. So Uddhava just decided he would actually speak it rather than just hand them the letter like that. So to make sure things were done properly. So you see the spiritual master, the actions of the spiritual master. Krishna empowers them to help others to nicely become absorbed in Krishna consciousness without, unduly, sort of causing any disturbances, so that everything goes nicely. So Uddhava, he spoke the message of Krishna, and Krishna explained that the gopis' love for him is so wonderful that Krishna could never ever be separated from them at any time, at any place, at all. That Krishna was always with them. And that if they continue to be absorbed in thinking of Krishna, that they would see that he is personally present there, that they would feel his presence. They're feeling his presence, and he's saying, I know you're feeling the present, my presence, and you should understand that, yes, I am there. Like this. So then, Uddhava explained some philosophically how one can never be separated from Krishna. And and then he also explained to the gopis that Krishna will certainly be returning, and in fact he had not actually left. So there are actually different pastimes in different scriptures where Krishna does, in the externally he actually sneaks back, goes to Vrindavan and visits them. So that part is there. And at the same time, they could understand that actually he is fully present there, that he's able to do that, to be present. That actually he's... So externally and internally, Krishna, fulfilled his promise to never leave the gopis and to be always with them. So then Uddhava, he asked the gopis... that just as the residents of Vrindavan had been, when Krishna saved them from the forest fire, he asked them to close their eyes, and then when they closed their eyes, Krishna removed the fire. So Uddhava, he was thinking that these gopis are burning in the fire of separation. So he asked them, you close your eyes and let us discuss the pastime. So they closed their eyes, and internally Krishna manifested himself as they, and externally Uddhava recited all the different pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. So he was helping them externally as the spiritual master, and internally Krishna was also there. So actually we see that the this is the qualification of the real spiritual master, that they are, the spiritual master is non-different from Krishna, and therefore when we have the opportunity to the great fortune to have the external manifestation of the spiritual master, we should know that means that Krishna is personally present, and that is why we worship the spiritual master as non-different, from the Supreme Lord. The spiritual master is not the Supreme Lord, but he's such a confidential servitor that when the spiritual master is present, it means that Krishna is personally present also. That is the role of the spiritual master, and that is Krishna empowers the spiritual master like that. So in this way, Uddhava stayed there for many months, actually. And they would constantly discuss the various pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, and the gopis actually felt consoled. They felt, yes, we are doing what Krishna has said in his message. Uddhava is helping us to remember Krishna, and we are feeling the presence of Krishna. And in this way they're actually consoled like this. So then they actually worship Uddhava as being non-different from Krishna. They accepted him as the spiritual master, and accepting him as the spiritual master, they worshipped him as non-different from Krishna, which is exactly the same as what this verse is saying. And Uddhava, he accepted them as his spiritual master. And he wanted to take the dust for their lotus feet. But he didn't dare ask. To him, they were so exalted, he didn't even dare ask for the dust of his lotus feet. So he was thinking, I pray that I may take birth in Vrindavan, perhaps as a little clump of grass or a creeper. And when those gopis who are always absorbed in thinking of Krishna, a little bit of dust sprinkles from their lotus feet on my head, then I will, be benedicted like that. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya teaches us that this is our method in the International Society of the Krishna Consciousness in Lord Chaitanya's movement, that we actually always think of Krishna in the mood of separation, following in the footsteps of the gopis, and that is so powerful that it will, one will feel the presence of Krishna, and being in the presence of Krishna, one's material existence will just, dissipate. There is no more powerful process. Even in the different modes of devotional service, this process is specifically, it is so powerful, like a, like a flood. We've just seen, the floods in Brisbane. The powerful floods come. Anything in its path, whoosh, swept away. The Lord Chaitanya, because Kali Yuga is so, difficult for spiritual progress, that he has created a flood of love of God. That this mood of the gopis, mood of love and separation, it is so powerful, it's like a flood. And everyone gets, no matter what birth they've taken, no matter how sinful, no matter what their past is, it is so powerful that this flood of Lord Chaitanya's love of God just sweeps everything out of the way, and you're left with nothing. But as the rivers go towards the ocean, you end up in the ocean, anandam burivadanam, the ocean of what's that verse? Chaita dapanam majam bhava mahadabhagniravatanam shekarava chandrikavatanam vijjavaru jivanam anandam burivadanam padipranam pranam vitasvadanam sarvatma shnapanam parambijayate shri krishna sankirtan. That this Sankirtan movement increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. But of course, in order to come to that platform of being absorbed in Krishna and learning how to be absorbed in Krishna in Vipralamba Seva, one has to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, purify one's life by following the principles, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no eating meat, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, regulating one's mind and senses in the regulated activities of devotional service, and that will bring one to the purified state where one can always hear and chant about Krishna in the association of devotees. I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments.
They all felt that mood of separation, even though Krishna
Srila Vishwanath Chakravani Thakur explains that the pastimes which are viewed in Vrindavan, in the time of Krishna, can be viewed from different levels. In that, on one level, one may see Krishna as being absent, and all the residents of Vrindavan being practically lifeless and unable to carry out their duties. On another level, one may perceive that actually those inhabitants of Vrindavan are absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna, and those pastimes are actually going on. That Krishna is actually there and they are actually enjoying those pastimes. So these pastimes may appear differently according to one's level of being able to perceive the unlimited pastimes of Krishna. Yes, yeah. So they enjoy both, that the mood of ecstasy, which has so many different varieties, such as we saw the anger of Srimati Radharani, that she was, she didn't want Krishna to, she thought he was a cheater. She was angry that he shouldn't come back. Let's forget about him. He's causing so much trouble, and let's stop talking about him. So there's that anger and transcendental madness, talking to a bumblebee. These are actually all different elevated stages of ecstasy. So the mood of separation allows them to experience intensities of ecstasy that are, so intense, so thick and nectarian that, it is not possible for others practically to understand the thickness and the, sweetness and the intensity of that nectar. So, Krishna, also, allows, because he appears to be separated, that, so they experience that, but then in that intense mood of being absorbed in Krishna, then they feel the presence of Krishna, and Krishna actually becomes, Krishna is present there. And they enjoy different pastimes with Krishna. So then there's the meeting. And then again, after the experience of meeting with Krishna, the way that Yoga Maya has arranged the circumstances, they're again able to, experience separation or a fear of separation. Sometimes, even in the presence of Krishna, when Krishna is personally with them, he may say something or do something which creates the fear of separation, which is another, So there are so many different, Krishna is very, very expert. So, yes, his pastimes in Vrindavan with the gopis allow this mood of separation and meeting to, flow. So the mood of separation is sweet in itself, and it makes the meeting very, very nectarian. And then because of that meeting, when Krishna is separate, then that mood of separation, remembering that meeting and anticipating the next meeting, is also another form of ecstatic nectar. So in this way, you know, the spiritual world is full of unlimited varieties of waves of love of God. There's so many different wonderful manifestations like this. But one has to be, according to one's level of elevation in transcendental Krishna consciousness, one can understand or perceive or even enter into these various pastimes.
When Uddhava came across from the gopis who were engaged in meditation, yoga, and when you asked them, why are you doing this yoga, you know, they said, because our mind is so disturbed by Krishna that there's no way that we can relieve our minds by doing this meditation, this yoga.
Yes, the gopis their pastimes reveal actually that the highest process is bhakti. In their various pastimes, like you were describing, it all goes to demonstrate that actually nothing else really works except bhakti. And that bhakti is so wonderful that it doesn't require any elevated birth, or one does not have to be on the level of Lord Brahma. One does not have to take birth in a Brahmana family. One does not have to be even initiated and trained as a Brahmana. One does not have to have any of those qualifications at all. The gopis, they were simple cowherd girls. And yet, simply because of their love for Krishna, their bhakti, they were able to, when Krishna was present, they were able to embrace him in their arms and experience privileges of intimacy with the Supreme Lord that are unheard of by great qualified persons like Brahma, Brahmanas, philosophers, yogis, all these personalities who can barely imagine even getting a glimpse of the effulgence emanating from Krishna's lotus feet. Demigods like Lord Brahma, could barely imagine such privileges, but the gopis, although they didn't have any of the qualifications of all these great personalities, but it showed that by their love, by their bhakti, they achieved privileges of embracing and even kissing with Krishna. So intimate. And that shows how glorious is the process of bhakti as well. So their pastimes demonstrate that. Yeah.
Speaking of qualifications and spiritual masters as well, we said that the gopis did not need to be initiated, and also you mentioned a few times about the different types of spiritual master, the different manifestations of spiritual master, and you mentioned that, for example, Uddhava can, we perceive him, or should perceive him as the spiritual master speaking from the basis of the Bhagavatam, which is also the spiritual master. And so you can't just listening, for example, to personalities from the previous stages be sufficient as for somebody to advance without accepting spiritual work that is currently present in the instructions and verses.
Well, Krishna Krishna does not really allow people to approach him directly. He wants them to approach him through his devotees. You know, Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and some of his lectures, of course, that you know, one who tries to approach Krishna directly is an upstart. That's what Prabhupada says, you know, they're an upstart there. It's impertinent. It's you know, they have no right to, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and even in the process of bhakti, Krishna, you know, voluntarily accepts the love and devotion of the bhaktas. He's not obliged to. You know, as Prabhupada mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, devotional service, is not a mechanical process. That, yes, I've done my 16 rounds, now Krishna must, you know, he's obliged to me now. Krishna is not obliged at all. You know, there's nothing. So, one really has no qualification to approach Krishna, even if one is performing bhakti. It's not just a mechanical thing. Yes, I've done the bhakti, chanted 16 rounds, did this, you know, swept the floor in the temple. So Krishna must award me, you know, entrance into his pastimes and personal association. He's now blind. No, Krishna's not. So, but Krishna, he loves his devotees so much that he wants to see them glorified. You know, he wants to see them served, and therefore he sets up, you know, the system whereby one approaches Krishna through the spiritual master, and in this way Krishna enjoys seeing his devotees served and glorified like that. He's not interested in his own self being glorified. And the spiritual master, he's in the same mood that I'm not interested. Krishna is trying to offer me service, Krishna is trying to offer glorification, but I'm not interested. I want to glorify Krishna, I want to spread his holy name like this. So you see that when Uddhava was speaking to the gopis, he started to glorify them, that you know, you are the spiritual masters, you are the, you know, you are the example of which there is no greater example for the whole world, for the whole universe. You are the spiritual masters. You are so glorious. And, you know, Radharani is thinking, you know, stop, you know, I'm not interested in glorifying, don't glorify me. Tell me about Krishna. I want to hear the glories of Krishna. I want to hear about, I love Krishna. I want to hear. I'm not interested at all. And, you know, what is the value of coming here talking about me? Tell me about Krishna. Glorify Krishna like this. And I want to glorify Krishna. So that is the reciprocal mood between Krishna and his devotees, that Krishna wants to glorify his devotees, and therefore he establishes them as a spiritual master. And if one neglects Krishna's spiritual masters, who are so dear to him, and thinks that they will directly go to Krishna, Krishna becomes, you know, he thinks, who is this offender? Who is this rascal? There's no access. You know. But, you know, even if one, as Prabhupada said, I mentioned that verse from the first canto, chapter 3, text 44, that Sudha Goswami described that he understood Srimad Bhagavatam and heard it and realized it by hearing it from the powerful Sukadeva Goswami. So the point there Prabhupada is making, that, you know, if somehow or another we can actually hear from the right source, then you'll definitely experience the presence of Krishna. So if someone takes the trouble to approach Krishna's representative, Krishna will manifest himself. Just for that, because his devotees are so dear to him, and, you know, one has offered even the slightest little service to his devotees, so yes, I'm there. And one can do all sorts of wonderful things, but neglecting Krishna's devotees, and Krishna will, you know, not manifest. Therefore, one time, one devotee asked Gaurakishore Das Babaji that, you know, if the process of devotional service, if you can get the association and hear from advanced devotees, it is so powerful. Why is it that Krishna covers over his devotees so that most people just see them as you know, mundane, ordinary people, and they can't, you know, because for instance, in the case of Guru Kishore Das Babaji, sometimes, you know, people will give him a donation. One time someone gave him a donation, a couple of rupees, he got that, and he sort of tied it up in his cloth, like this, and then he was speaking. Even now, he would just check, make sure that was there. Someone was watching and thinking, boy, you know, this is not a sadhu. This person is just absorbed in his money. At least, they're thinking like that. And become critical and left. But of course, you know, Guru Kishore Das Babaji, someone mentioned that to Guru Kishore Das Babaji, and he was explaining, well, you know, the whatever I get, you know, I offer to the devotees for their service. So, he, you know, he would look forward to that this will go to Krishna's devotees, like that. So, he's, you know, and he was explaining that, you know, one who neglects paraphernalia which can be used to serve Krishna's devotees, it may appear to be advanced, but it's actually a demonstration of their lack of Krishna consciousness. But many people would sometimes approach different sadhus like that and see them as an ordinary pounds and shillings person, because they, you know, may do very similar things. You know, they appear to be business people, they appear to, you know, doctors, we had a doctor there, they appear to be, you know, ordinary people, but maybe a housewife, you know, like this. Guru Kishore Das Babaji explained that Krishna does this because Krishna thinks, if someone comes to my exalted devotees and does the slightest little service for him, I am indebted to that person eternally. So therefore, I just want to make sure they're sincere. So he will test them. And therefore, you know, if someone is insincere, very easily, you know, they will just criticize or what have you. If someone's very sincere, to hear the message of God, and, you know, the sadhu is speaking, and they will say, yes, this is the nectar that I want to hear. And gradually, you know, and they will offer some service, and then Krishna will reveal the nature of the sadhu to those persons. So, in this way, you know, one must approach the spiritual master, but Krishna does cover the transcendental nature of his devotees, because their association is so powerful that the slightest little, you know, service to them, and Krishna becomes indebted. Just like if someone takes, Prabhupada, you know, translated Srimad Bhagavatam, and anyone who takes the trouble to read Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna becomes so, you know, pleased that, you know, you're actually glorifying the literature of Srila Prabhupada, you know, or you're taking the trouble to, you know, read. And therefore, there is so much potency. Therefore, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, you know, people read Bhagavad Gita, even they couldn't understand it, but because they took that trouble, Krishna, you know, just gave them just massive, you know, advancement in Krishna consciousness beyond their qualifications. You know, we see in the early years, because even now, that they just, you know, they looked sure. I mean, the first time I ever read the Bhagavad Gita, I was intoxicated. Absolutely, you know, baseless. But because I took that trouble, I didn't even understand. I was reading, I was thinking, you know, I was thinking, this is, you know, it's good, but, you know, I'll have to read it when I'm sober. But because of the fact that I took that time and trouble, Krishna reciprocated, you know, beyond any qualification, you know, that I had. So therefore, you know, we should always, you know, very nicely serve the devotees, and be very careful not to offend them. And if we do that and hear Srimad Bhagavatam in their association, and they guide us to purify our lives so that we can absorb ourselves in that hearing and chanting, we will immediately feel the presence of Krishna. Immediately. Can someone rephrase?
This temple service that you do, that's not done by the full-time employee, he's asking if it doesn't count.
Oh, I see, yeah. Yes, any service that one does is counted. Krishna counts everything. Krishna reciprocates. There's one verse in the Bhagavad Gita where he says that he reciprocates exactly according to. So, if we think of Krishna, he will be thinking of us. And if we're always thinking of Krishna, he's always thinking of us. At one time, Srila Prabhupada, you know, I think he might have been in one of his early shopfront preaching centers. This drunk, he sometimes came in. One time he came in off the street with some toilet paper, you know, put it in the toilet and then stake it out. And Prabhupada explained that, you know, to see. You know, he had a desire to serve. Krishna has given him the intelligence and Krishna will accept that service. You know, so everything is counted, every single thing. Krishna, that's what Krishna is explaining to the gopis here, that he is always present. If we're in material consciousness, we cannot appreciate his presence, but he's actually always present. If we're in Krishna consciousness, we can always feel his presence. And feeling the presence of Krishna, if we reciprocate with him, we will, you know, feel his reciprocation exactly in kind. So if we're, you know, for instance, if we get some flowers and we think, oh, you know, I'll offer some Krishna some flowers. Oh, you know, they're a bit dead, they're a bit dried up, you know, but, you know, that's okay. I've done an offering. So, you know, Krishna will reciprocate with that there's, you know, they're sort of doing some service, but they're not really putting their heart into it. They're not thinking of me, you know, very. So Krishna sort of has a slightly indifference. He'll accept that service, but, you know, his mood with that devotee is a little bit indifferent. Devotee takes, where is the nicest flower with a beautiful fragrance and colour? Let me delicately place that at Krishna's lotus feet. And Krishna, you know, takes special interest in that devotee, in, you know, their situation, and treats them with the same consideration. But as Prabhupada says, if you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna will take one step towards you. But Krishna takes very big steps. You know, that's the thing. So when we're saying Krishna reciprocates exactly the same, it's quite unlimited. You know, Krishna, as Vamadeva, took three steps and covered the whole universe. So if you take three steps towards Krishna, you know, you can imagine Krishna will take three steps towards you. In the big sense. So Krishna's reciprocation will make a massive big impact. Okay. Thank you. Hey, Krishna.
Sometimes at work, people ask me, what Hare Krishna is all about, or, you know, to say, I'm a Muslim, or I'm a Catholic, and they say, what is Hare Krishna, or how do we reply to that? I mean, in
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam tries to explain to us that whatever process of religion we're following, the main thing is to love God. So I guess in one sense, you know, we're lovers of God. We're trying to serve and love God, and there's a science of how to do that. Love of God cannot be given, you know, designations in the same that, you know, if you have some gold in your hand, you cannot say, well, you know, I have Hindu gold, or someone else is a Muslim, I'm not. Yeah, well, now I have the gold, so now it's Muslim gold, you know. And you give the gold to someone else, oh, now, you know, it's Buddhist gold, or, you know, oh, and you give it to someone, oh, now the gold is atheist gold. Gold is gold. And love of God is love of God, and is beyond designations, because, you know, God is beyond designations, and the spirit soul is beyond designations.
Does the Hare Krishna's faith, can we present it in such a way that you present offers to the people in a term that people can relate to pretty quickly, you know what I mean? I mean, some people, you only have 2 minutes in which to say, well, what is Hare Krishna? I mean, we know that Hare Krishna is as old as the sun, and we can philosophize on, you know, the sun god being different names of different continents.
Servants of God. To get it down to the smallest common factor, if someone asks, well, you know, what's it all about? You know, we're servants of God. And being a servant of God, you know, that is common to the Christians, to the Muslims, to everyone, that we're servants of God.
So that in itself would be satisfying to the.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. That's it. We're just servants of God, and we're just learning the science of how to do that very, very, you know, properly and nicely, purely like that. That's it.
And you say loving servant of
God. Yeah, loving servant of God. Yeah. Yeah. We're servants of God, and we're trying to do that with love. That's, you know. It sort of takes it beyond, you know. A Christian will appreciate that you're doing the same as them. A Muslim, you know, if they're actually made any advancement, you know, they should immediately understand, oh, well, that's what I'm trying to be. In fact, you know, now that you mention it, you know, for all the, you know, rituals and what have you, I've never thought of it. It was so simple that everything we do, you know, see, as a devotee, we understand every single thing we do is there to serve God and please Him. But you'll be surprised that within most religious, philosophical or yogic processes, they actually don't understand that one point. Their goal is the activity they're doing of yoga, to perfect that activity. They're not thinking, I'm doing this yogic activity to come to the point to know God and please Him. They don't think like that. They're just thinking, I'm doing the pranayama. The philosophers, I'm studying the philosophy, trying to. They're not thinking, I'm trying to gain knowledge ultimately so I can come to the point to understand God so that I can learn how to serve Him. They're not thinking like that. And many Christians, going to church, many Muslims and what have you, they actually forget that point, that the goal of every single thing they do. Brahmins, even Brahmins, you know, within India, they don't know that when they light the sacred fire, there's only one reason they're doing it, and that is to please God, to serve God. You know, I do many ceremonies, and sometimes I have to remind people, you know, that that's what I'm doing. I'm actually lighting this fire to serve God, to please God. Other than, no, we just want our child to have a haircut. I'm not a barber, you know, I'm lighting this fire to please God. So, a devotee, you know, that they do, that's, so if we can explain that to people, that we're servants of God, trying to do it with love, And that is actually the real purpose of any religion. Then, you know, it's something that you've just taught them something that they may not have learned in many lifetimes, and they will, you know, it's so simple but sublime. Prabhupada says this philosophy is simple and sublime. Krishna can come a little later. Krishna can come a little later because it can confuse people. I think, you know. Yeah, people may take it as a Hindu thing if you say Krishna, so sometimes you may want to just leave that for a little bit. If they can get that on the servant of God trying to love them, that's probably enough for a lot of people. Yeah? I repeated that from the chapter that I just described in class, because Uddhava actually says that exact answer. That's why I said it here. Sorry. Nice and simple, you know, without being, yeah, that's good. Sometimes you've got to come down to that basic essence of everything. And if they can grasp that, you know, you can take them to the next point. But sometimes if they're struggling and you see that, okay, that's enough, we'll just leave it there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.